Pacheco, and welcome to Forgotten Hollywood. I've written a paperback that tells America's story through the great character actors of Hollywood's golden age. Today, I will join the radio columnist from the Orange County Register and my good friend, Gary Lycan, in a very special interview. We have an extraordinary guest, Miss Debbie Reynolds. She's truly a Hollywood legend, and we are pleased for her to join us over the next hour. Miss Reynolds has also selected a number of fine tunes for us to play during the show. I'm thrilled to turn the microphone over to Gary as they discuss a variety of topics.
Hi, this is Gary Lycan, and we're here today with Debbie Reynolds, who has had a marvelous film career. And Debbie, thank you so much for joining us here on Forgotten Hollywood.
Well, I'm happy too, and it's not all forgotten. Everybody loves Hollywood, but we just don't know where it went, do we?
That's very true. That's very true. You know, Debbie, you've had an amazing film career. I think of three films when I think of you, especially. I think of Singin' in the Rain, Tammy and the Bachelor, and of course, you know, unsinkable Molly Brown. But before Singin' in the Rain, you played Helen Kane in the movie Three Little Words. Tell me how that role came to you.
Well, I was at Warner Brothers Studio under contract, first of all, in 1948, where I was at Miss Burbank, and the talent scout there drove me to Warner's, and that's where they renamed me Debbie. And then one day Mr. Warner really felt he wasn't going to go forward with musicals, so he said to the talent scouts, his name was Solly Baiano, why don't you drive Debbie over and see Mr. Mayor? And I don't know if he called him Mr. Mayor, but he said, take her over and have her meet them all over there, because they do a lot of musicals. And I just want her to be where she'll be happy and doing, working, not what, because I'm going to phase mine out. So I was driven over to MGM Studios. And that's when I met Jack Cummings, who was the producer of Three Little Words, and a Mr. Mannix, who was the head of MGM along with L.B. Mayer, and a Mr. Thaw, T-H-A-U. But those were all the heads. And then I didn't know, they were all men in one office, kind of a big office, all fancy, had a fireplace. I remember Mr. Cummings just leaned on the fireplace and watched me, and then he said, now, did anybody explain to you what you're going to do? And I said, well, not really, but they said just to do my record impression, so shall I just do that? So I'm just 16. I was just 16, April Fool's Day, and April 1st, and this was in June, so I was just 16. Years of age. That's pretty young.
Yes.
I put on my little record and I did my little square in the social circle, was called, of Betty Hutton. And they just smiled throughout and nobody said anything. I just did that little record impression. And they asked me, but I don't remember what they asked me, a couple of questions, you know, but mostly they just smiled through all the record impression that I did.
Here's Debbie Reynolds in the movie retrospective That's Entertainment, explaining how it all began, musically speaking, on Forgotten Hollywood.
The real stars were Fred Astaire and Red Skelton. But see that funny-looking kid coming down the steps? Well, look out, Hollywood. Here I come.
I wanna be loved by you alone.
I wanna be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. Oh, I wanna be loved by you alone.
Carl Alton Carpenter and I only did this one number in the picture, but it certainly helped our careers, even though the voice wasn't mine. MGM brought in the song's originator, Helen King, to sing the vocal.
I want to be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I want to be loved by you. Ba-dum-be-dum-be-dum-be-dum. Boop-boop-ba-doo.
Dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab means monk I love but you. Dab-a-dab-a-dab in monkey talk means chimp I love you too. Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their
coconut tree. And the monkey gay at the break of day loved to hear his chimpy say. Abba dabba 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 said the chimpy to the monk. Babba dabba 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 said the monkey to the chimp. All night long they'd chatter away, all day long they were happy and gay, swinging and singing in the honky tonky way. Abba dabba 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 means monk, a love for you.
Dabba dabba dab in monkey talk means chimp, I love you too.
Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their abba-dabba honeymoon.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba said the chimpy to the monkey. Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba said the monkey to the chimp.
All night long they chatter away, all day long they were happy and gay, swinging and singing in the honky-tonky way.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba means monk, I love with you.
Abba-dabba-dabba in monkey talk means chimp, I love you too.
Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon they went upon their abba-dabba honeymoon.
On Forgotten Hollywood. Let's check back in with Gary Lycan and our special guest, Debbie Reynolds.
What was it like working with Frank Sinatra in The Tender Trap?
Well, great fun. Oh, great fun. Well, he's Frank Sinatra, you know, and he's really a guy from Hoboken. He's he went with Humphrey Barton. They'd go out on the boat every weekend, and Betty Bacall and Sammy Kahn and all these their buddies, you know, and they'd drink all weekend. Then he'd come to work Monday, and the deal was he would just shoot the scene once. That's it. You had to get it right the first time, in his opinion, and it was just his opinion. He didn't care about the director's opinion, and that was it. You shot it one time, and I liked that. I liked working that way, and David Wayne was in there in that movie. And Frank was great to me and to everybody, but he was definite, and we just shot one take, and that's it.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top, back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet,
a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright.
Now the milkman's on his way, it's too late to say goodnight.
So good morning, sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning to you and you.
Nothing could be grander than to be in Louisiana
in the morning. In the morning, it's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
I'd be just as iffy if we was in Mississippi.
When we left the movie show, the future wasn't bright. But came the dawn, the show goes on, and I don't want to say goodnight.
Don't say good morning.
Good morning.
Rainbows are shining through.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bonjour.
Monsieur.
Buenos dias.
Muchas gracias.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Good morning.
Guten Morgen.
Good morning to you.
Thank you.
This is Forgotten Hollywood. Let's return to the radio columnist of the Orange County Register, Gary Lycan, with our special guest, Debbie Reynolds.
Well, so the story goes, Gene Kelly had reservations about you being in Singin' in the Rain because you had no dance experience. And how did the MGM studio head, Louis B. Mayer, handle that?
Well, that would scare me if I was doing Singing in the Rain and my leading lady didn't dance. Wouldn't that scare you?
Yes.
You know, they just called me in an office and they said, Debbie, we're going to have you meet someone and you're going to be in his movie. And then Gene Kelly walked in and they said, this is Gene Kelly. So I had seen his movies and I was quite thrilled to meet him, but I just said, how do you do, sir, you know, and then Mr. Mayer said, she's your new leading lady. So Gene was friendly and smiled and said, well, that's very good. How much dancing or where have you danced? And I said, well, I mean, whatever you want me to do, I can do. And I said, I do the time step. He said, oh, like, he was, who cares? And then he said, can you do the maxi forward? And I said, I don't have a car. Now, maxi forward is the name of a dance step. I didn't know that, and I didn't know much of anything about dancing. So, anyway, Mr. Mayer, Gene got me, whether he wanted me or not. And in those days, they had heads of studios that really did run the studio, and they told the stars which pictures to be in and which films they were going to do, and they had to mind, or there was a thing called layoff, which meant they could put you on layoff, meaning no pay, and then that extended on the end of your contract. So they had a pretty tight grip on everybody. So I think that's why Gene didn't argue or fight about it, and he just put me in rehearsal, and I rehearsed like mad, you know, for
sure
learning how to dance. I mean, I was just taking lessons from great teachers in four months.
Wow. Well, you were only 20, I think, when you made Singin' in the Rain, and then 10 years later, you're in the movie How the West Was Won with a remarkable cast. You know,
I was only 18 during Singing in the Rain. I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I had my 18th birthday on that picture.
Wow, that must have been a thrilling birthday for you that year. Really special.
Well, I was so tired. we worked really hard. You know, you had to keep up with everybody. Donald O'Connor is pretty great, and we became good friends, and he was much younger, so I felt more at home with him.
Oh, of course. Well, 10 years later, when you made How the West Was Won, you were now performing with Carole Baker, Lee J. Cobb, Carl Malden, Henry Fonda, the list goes on and on. But I believe you have said some of your favorite moments were spent with some of the character actors, like Thelma Ritter, Agnes Moorehead, and others. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, they became my best friends, really. I just loved all of them. You know, they were so much fun and so talented, and Carl Malden, for instance, and he was a great actor. Agnes Moorehead, of course. Thelma Ritter, I made three different movies with her, and we would have dinner, and she'd come to my house, and now I'm older on that picture, and I was married, and Agnes was come to the house at least two or three times a week for dinner.
One of the things that I remember about the relationship between you and Thelma Ritter is that you both played Molly Brown, on the Titanic in 1953, and you years later. Was she helpful as a friend?
She was not. She was ill at that time, living in New York, and Thelma had a really bad stroke. And unfortunately, she had passed away by the time I did the movie. Otherwise, I would have. And don't worry, she would have told me a lot. She was a really funny lady, and she had a lot of jokes and loved bear jokes, would write me bear jokes. I don't know why she loved bear jokes. And Agnes Moorehead was a great actress and a teacher, so she did help me a lot. And I had a great teacher called Lillian Burns Sidney, at MGM, who was the coach, who was a teacher. And she and I worked every night, every day, throughout the whole thing on the part. So she was always my biggest influence was Lillian Burns. She was married to George Sidney.
Oh, of course.
And later on, unfortunately, he left her for a younger woman, but just follows the train of thought. But she was a great teacher and a great coach, and she became like my mentor mother.
How nice. Well, talk about playing Molly Brown in Unsinkable Molly Brown. What did it mean to you to receive that Academy Award nomination?
Well, I saw the play in New York with Tammy Grimes, and I loved it. And I said, "Yeah, that's for me," you know, because that was me. I just felt Molly Brown was the kind of a lady I'd like to play, because I felt that the kind of a lady I am. So when I got back to MGM and then later heard they were going to do Molly Brown, they had said, "Well, you can't do it because we've already cast Shirley MacLaine in the part." And of course I was devastated. But then Shirley couldn't do it because she had a lawsuit with Hal Wallace at Paramount, and she was really upset about it. I don't blame her, but I was thrilled. And Chuck Walters was the director, and he wanted Shirley, not me. And so again, there was a problem. I had to convince him that I could do Molly, and I did convince him. And it took about 6 weeks of shooting before he was really happy with everything, you know, that he saw. He was he just really wanted Shirley badly, but he got stuck with Debbie, and I was thrilled to get to do it, and I knew I could do her really well, and I was very honored to be nominated.
Let's take a break. When we return to Forgotten Hollywood, Gary Lycan continues his conversation with Debbie Reynolds. Manny Pacheco here. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History, and Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History shares Americana through the eyes of actors who appear under the titles of such iconic movies such as The Wizard of Oz.
That's a horse of a different color. Come on in.
Casablanca.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
And It's a Wonderful Life.
A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History was recently a 2013 gold medal recipient from the Reader's Favorite Book Awards, complete with a star-studded ceremony in Miami. You can purchase the entire Forgotten Hollywood book series on Amazon and at independent bookstores, and you can download the first paperback to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series is a perfect gift. I invite you to visit ForgottenHollywood.com and pick up a copy of these books today. Gary Lycan has caught up with the legendary star of the stage and screen, Debbie Reynolds, and let's return to their conversation on Forgotten Hollywood.
Let's go back a few years to that movie, Tammy and the Bachelor. I know that was a early film for Leslie Nielsen. What was it like to work with him? Because he hadn't yet achieved that comedic stature that he was to find later in life. What was it like to work with Leslie?
Well, Leslie was kind of funny. You know, he didn't really want to do that movie because he was from New York and he was a very serious actor and he wanted to do dramatic films. And he certainly didn't want to be doing Tammy, that picture with Debbie and the goat. So he was a little standoffish. Not real friendly, but I laughed after that picture, after he made all the pictures later on that he made were comedies that really made him the big star. So comedy really did, because he was always good at comedy. He was a wonderful actor, and he was a very sweet guy, but he just didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be making that silly movie he wanted to be making.
You know, during that time when you were working with Leslie Nielsen, and also later when you were working with Tony Randall in a film, I saw a retrospective on TCM that from your daughter actually mentioning that she was that you worked with her at the time. What was it like to work through a pregnancy? I mean, that must have been rather difficult.
Well, no, I was lucky. I was young, and I didn't have a lot of trouble. And so I just, if I felt a little sickly, then I would rest a little bit. But, yeah, it all came out all right. You know, I was pregnant with Carrie and Todd, and then I had two other children that I lost when they were born. Unfortunately, I lost those children, and I worked all through their pregnancy. And so, I don't know, I think it's good for everybody to do what they can do. And I could work throughout pregnancy because I didn't get sickly.
Let's take a moment to listen to Debbie Reynolds and the biggest hit in her storied career, Tammy, on Forgotten Hollywood.
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above, Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old hooty owl hooty hoos to the dove, Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. Does my lover feel what I feel when he comes near? My heart beats so joyfully, you'd think that he could hear. Wish I knew if he knew what I'm dreaming of. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy.
I'd be lost without you. You're the starch in my collar, you're the lace in my shoe. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. Most girls tell love of tales, and each phrase does.
tales you've heard each known way. This way is my own way. You're the sail of my love boat. You're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you. To me, so necessarily, I'd be lost without you. You're the cream in my coffee. Can I be the sweets in your tea? Gee, I wanna be your necessity, so you'd be lost without me.
Now, back to my good friend Gary Lycan and Miss Debbie Reynolds.
You know, I've read several articles recently in which you have said that you and the late Elizabeth Taylor made peace with the past. Can you tell us about the meeting that you two had in which you said that, you know, forgiveness took place?
Well, Elizabeth and I were very good friends at MGM. I was 17, so was Elizabeth. We went to school together. We finished our high school on the lot at MGM in a little schoolyard, that schoolhouse that they had there. And she hated school because she was already a star, and she just hated those lessons. And so she was always going to the bathroom. She was always in the bathroom pretending, you know. If in another room, she would have gone there, but it was a one-room studio, you know, kind of place. And so I would actually, I would kind of help her. When she would go to the bathroom, the teacher would leave the room, I'd do the test for her. So it's the first year she did really good grades, and everybody laughed. They were so happy that she really did well in school that year, because I had just come from school, public school, so I was used to studying, and I loved school, so it didn't bother me at all to just whip out both papers. And then we would visit, you know, just to, after all, everybody on the lot was much older than Elizabeth, and so we were the same age, and we became friendly. And I'm not saying that I was her best friend. She had other friends. Mostly she liked guys. She liked Roddy McDowell was her best buddy, and she had male friends, you know, just friends, and older friends.
Montgomery Clift, I believe, was one of them.
Yeah. Yes, a little later than 17 years old, about 18, when he came on the lot. And then, well, whomever she met a man that she liked, they became her best friend, you know. I mean, she just really loved men. That's it. And I always laugh because I say, well, she certainly did, and she loved my husband, too. So, but later on, after our unfortunate situation, well, Mike Todd was, we became best friends, Mike Todd, Elizabeth, Eddie, and I, because Eddie adored Mike Todd like a big brother and copied everything he did, smoked his cigars and walked like him and never could be him because Mike Todd was a very kind of blousy, you know, producer type fellow, and really, really worldly. And Eddie was a young boy and just tried to copy him, and it was kind of funny to watch. But when Mike Todd took a trip, he had an unfortunate, horrible accident where his plane crashed, and that was a terrible time for Elizabeth, and they had just had the baby Liza, and we both went over. I took her children home to my house to look after them, because the press were everywhere, all over the place, on the roof and the windows, and it was really just a terrible time.
Sure.
So I took her little children home with me, and the nurses, everybody went home with me, and I left Eddie, and Eddie stayed.
And I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history. Well, at that time, he didn't stay. But he did stay, yes, as a friend. He stayed there. And then it turned into more. And we all know the end of that story. And then I remarried many years later, about 6 years later. And she married Richard Burton. And we were in New York. And we were going to go to England on the Queen Elizabeth. And I saw huge amounts of luggage going out the front door, Vuitton luggage, and with dogs and birds in the cage, like parrots, you know, and lots of children. And I said, my goodness, that's like the Queen of England. They said, almost, it's Elizabeth Taylor. So I almost canceled my trip.
You know,
because I didn't think that would be a good idea, but I went ahead and went on the trip with my husband, Harry Carl, K-A-R-L, and he was in the shoe business, and sent a little note when we got to our stateroom over to Elizabeth, and she had sent one to me, because we both said the same thing. We have this wonderful trip planned, and it's a four-way crossing, and let's have a good time, enjoy each other's company and let bygones be bygones. So Richard Burton and she came to we had a very large big suite, because Mr. Carl was a very wealthy man, and we had hors d'oeuvres there and champagne, and then we went on to dinner, and we had a great evening and laughed, and the whole trip we got together, and that ended that bad time feeling, and
sure.
we moved ahead.
Debbie Reynolds has been kind enough to select music to play on our show, and our guest programmer has chosen Tony Bennett. This is Forgotten Hollywood.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna drain a cup dry. Wait till your charms are ripe for these arms to surround.
You think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Wait till you see that sunshine place. Ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Oh, out of a tree of life, I just picked me up.
Debbie Reynolds, Unforgotten Hollywood.
I have one of the largest private collections in the world of costumes and properties and all that. And so I was trying all these years to create a museum with a realtor. I was just unlucky that I met the wrong people, and they would go broke every time, and I would be stuck with the bills. And I just kept trying, though, and there's so many places. There's over 8 or 9 different ventures. I've only wanted to build it for the public. I did. That was my really true reason, and I wanted to put everything in there so that they could come and see their favorite star, or have a visit, a memory of their wonderful experience in the past, of a hot date, or some special moment that they saw this movie at Christmas time, or their mother's birthday, or a passing, or something in your life that was very wonderful that you could relate to always. That's why I wanted it.
I've seen your appearances on Oprah and so forth, and I can tell people out there who are listening to the show today that it's a marvelous collection. There's some amazing items in it.
Well, I have Marilyn Monroe's subway dress, the white dress with the little, where the skirt blew up, which really ended her marriage to Joe DiMaggio. And I have Hello Dolly, which is Barbara Streisand's gold dress. Fabulous, so fabulous. And Elizabeth Taylor, Cleopatra, and all of Richard Burton. Well, I bought the whole cast. And then Gigi, I have all of Gigi. I buy all the cast. I bought all the Academy Award-winning films so that I have a representation for all Academy Award-winning films and How the West Was Won. All just 4,000 costumes. And
wow.
Cars, Laurel and Hardy, and everybody. I just bought everybody, that I love. Jack Benny. I have the Rat Pack. I have everybody.
Debbie, thank you so much for being with us here today. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and good luck with everything.
Thank you, Gary Lykin, for a super interview. And special thanks to our fabulous guest, Debbie Reynolds, for sharing her cinematic memories. Our exceptional producer is Steve Guzman. We're concluding today's program with a retrospective from one of Debbie Reynolds' finest films, How the West Was Won. I hope you join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget. I'm Manny Pacheco.
There are whippoorwills. The hills, look beyond the hills, where you'll hear me a pipe in the meadow.
Trying to read a letter from my home. If
That train runs right, I'll be home tomorrow night, 'cause I'm 900 miles from my home. And I hate to hear that lonesome whistle blow.
The train I'm riding on is 100 coaches long. You hear the whistle blow 100 miles. If those tracks run right, I'll be home tomorrow night, 'cause I'm 900 miles from my home. And I hate to hear that lonesome whistle blow.
Didn't have a line, set me in the shade, counting on the money that I ain't made.
Oh boys, can't you line up? Oh boys, can't you line up? Oh boys, can't you line up? Keep on playing that track.
Yeah.